There's a move of God. The next move of God is the church move.
Amen. Ooh, glory.
That gonna preach.
Glory to yes. God.
Where you're gonna see a different church.
Yes, amen.
On the day of Pentecost, we seen a different church.
I got a barbecue perfume on, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. we seen a different church, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Peter, the church was just different.
Yeah.
And the 3,000 that was saved, then 5,000, then I mean they were, and the people began to say they come to turn our world upside down.
That's right.
We don't have control of it anymore, cause whole cities was getting saved.
Mm-hmm.
When Deacon went down and preached, and the whole city got saved.
Mm-hmm.
And burnt. Witchcraft and stuff. I mean, a lot of that was operating, but all that was burnt. Okay. This is the introduction to authority of the believer. David, come forth.
Amen. That was good, Sister Mary.
Amen.
I had to open that up.
Yeah.
I had to open that up.
You know, you finished up and said, here in Matthew chapter 7, and it says, by the time Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were dazed and overwhelmed by his teaching, because his words carry such great authority.
Whoa.
Quite unlike their religious scholars. You know, in the authority of the believer, we have, I guess, first have to question, what do we believe?
Mm-hmm.
What do we believe?
Yes.
What do we believe? You know, I want to go on here too. Pastor touched on this. You know, a lot of times an authority believer, they start with here in chapter 8, Matthew is the Roman officer. We all know that story.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. But I'll start here in verse 5. It says, when Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army approached him, asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who's laying at home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus replied, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come unto my house? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve unto me. I tell one to go and he goes, to another come and he comes.
Mm-hmm.
I order my servants and they do whatever I ask.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this. Say, up here at Minor High School, say a young man, he got ROTC, something along them lines, you know, and he got thinking, you know, I'm gonna join the Army and be an officer. He go on to college, get him college education, get in the Army, take him probably 6 years to become a captain. He's got a pretty good bit of time invested in him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't want you to answer me, but think about this. Scriptures go on to tell us that. He said, I've seen no greater faith than all of Israel. Would this qualify this man to have great faith by becoming a captain in the Army? The answer to that question is no. Faith come by hearing.
Yes, amen.
Hearing by the word of God.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
No matter what military background you may have, you may have a little bit more understanding on authority, but the faith's not going to be that far.
Right.
Faith is from the word of God. But I want to drive at what I'm driving at here is starting for us to understand who we are. We have to look at him.
Yeah.
For as he
that's
is,
good. That's
so
good.
Are we in this world.
Amen. Amen.
But I found something this week. I'm going to read to you to help us understand this. Brother Thurston, don't you voice my pen.
Good.
But in the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew with a few portions Aramaic. There are three spellings of Lord indicate different Hebrew words. And here are the meaning of each. Lowercase letters. This always refers to a man and not God. It means master or someone who has authority over another. This is where we get the word sire And this is where we say, like, yes, sir, no, sir, to people, you know, in respect. But here's another Lord. It's capitalized L and then lowercase L-O-R-D. And this is where we're going to hit at today. And this refers to God in the plural form, meaning my lords. It is addressing the Trinitarian aspect of God. In some parts of the Old Testament, it refers to the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, this Roman officer kind of, you know, remember the story about Jesus, the boys, let's go get the boat, go to the other side. Mm-hmm. And what did they say when they got in trouble? They said, Master, you know, we're perishing. Went back there and woke them up, said, Master, we're perishing. And Jesus got up and rebuked the storm. And they said, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? And what did Jesus tell them? Oh, ye a little faith. Mm-hmm. Little faith. They just recognized him as a man. Mm-hmm. Understand where I'm coming from? Okay, the centurion soldier, or Roman soldier, I said centurion soldier. This Roman soldier, he goes back, he says, I understand your authority. I see who you are. I know that you are Lord.
Amen.
See, it's a whole different. He knew who Jesus was. Mm-hmm. And you remember the woman, you know, the, let's go to Matthew 15 here. The woman of great faith, the Lebanese woman. It says, this 15th chapter of Matthew says, then Jesus left and went north into the non-Jewish regions of Lebanon, and he encountered there a Canaanite woman who screamed out at him, Lord, son of David, show mercy to me. My daughter is horribly afflicted by a demon that torments her. But Jesus never answered her, so his disciples said to him, why do you ignore this woman who is crying out to us? And Jesus said, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. But she came down and bowed down before him and said, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it is not right for a man to take bread from children and throw it to the dogs. And she said, you're right, Lord. She replied, but even the puppies eat the crumbs that fall from the prince's tables. And then Jesus answered her, dear woman, your faith is strong. What you desire will be done to you. But this woman also recognized him as Lord.
Amen.
Both of these were non-Jewish, both of them, you know.
Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gentiles, but they recognized his lordship.
Okay, David, we got to give, we're thirsty now.
All right, I'm going to finish up
getting
this.
Getting good.
Let's go to, you know, he was talking about the disciples denying Jesus. You know, all of them denied. You know, at the resurrection.
Yeah, all of them denied.
All of them. But Thomas, we'll pick on Thomas, won't we? You know, mm-hmm. But this is what I'm driving at. Mm-hmm. When he got what he believed for, he said, I ain't going to believe till I put my fingers in his hand and my hand inside. Mm-hmm. A week later, Jesus rolled up in there and did a dry mouth. He said, put them there, boy. And when he did, I want you to understand this. He says, my Lord
and my God.
He recognized him, and I think sometimes we miss that. And Romans, Lord, the book, I'll finish up with this right quick.
Okay, but you're going to have to.
But why is he Lord and God? Mm-hmm. Book of Romans tells us by the 14th chapter that when you're Lord and God, you can judge both the living and the dead. And I kind of think, you know, how the Romans thought they was in charge. Isn't that kind of God's kind of sense of humor when he tells you in the book of Romans that he judges all. He's over all. Mm-hmm. He's both Lord and he's both God.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So,
brother.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, it's good to be back. I've been missing Christoph. I tell you, I love authority.
And I want to say something about authority. When authority becomes revelation to you, that's when it's really going to jump off the pages and into your life. My book on authority, I had several of them, and I passed them out. Sister Deborah gave me a bunch of them. I gave them all away to good people that would read them. And I said, I got one in my library. I went to look for it and didn't find it. I said, I got to get another one. But I remember the book, I Believe in Visions, had the same things in it. But I have the first edition. And this was before they put the things about authority. It's got some of it in there. But I saw something. The first page I looked at, my eyes fell on something that we need to use authority. I've been thinking for about a month now. I've been considering how the church has authority and don't always know it. A lot of people don't have testimonies where they use their authority and overcame things. It's just you don't hear that as much as them receiving blessings or sometimes wisdom, but you don't hear where people are actually using the authority God gave them. And this was when Kenneth Hagin was believing God for his healing. And let's see. He's sitting there. This is page 26. And I'm just, he was still on his deathbed. What was his deathbed? He got saved. And he started studying the scriptures and he saw something. And he said, finally, I saw what I had been doing wrong. I saw that I wasn't really believing what God's word said. I was saying it in my mind, but I wasn't believing it with my heart or acting upon it with my heart. I saw that for months I had been hoping that I would grow better gradually. I was praying with hope and not with faith, and that won't get the job done. I realized that my faith was not based on what God's word said, but on what I could see and feel. And so many times people miss, we understand that, because we've all done it as we learn to walk in faith. He said, I could feel that my heart wasn't beating right yet. I would often look at my legs and arms and start crying. I could see that they weren't unchanged. I was believing only what I could see my physical eyes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say some things that will get us past that point, because that's what he did in this next paragraph. He said, thus I came to the second week of August in 1934. On Tuesday morning, I prayed through the early morning hours. At the usual time, my mother came and helped me with my bath. It was about 8:30 when she left that room. I'm going to skip down. Well, I continued to pray. I had been struggling with the verse in Mark 11:24 for a long time now, but I still wasn't any better. I told the Lord, you said when you were on earth that what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. I desire to be healed, and I believe if you were to stand here in my room and I could see you with my physical eyes and take hold of your hand, and if you were to tell me that my trouble is that I am not believing, I would have to say that this isn't true. I am believing. Then the voice inside of me spoke so clearly, it was so real to me. This is revelation. Mm-hmm. If someone had spoken audibly, it was so real. It was so real to me as if someone had spoken audibly. Yes, you are believing as far as you know. But the last clause of that verse says, "And ye shall have them." Whatever you believe, you will have them. You will have them. This became revelation to me. Now he can do business. When the word of God becomes revelation, you have the authority. Know it or not, believe it or not, you have the authority through Christ. But when it becomes revelation, you will always use it. Mm-hmm. And it will always work. And you will always enjoy it.
That's right. That's good. Mm-hmm.
He said, I believe as much as I knew how to believe. But I didn't know enough. A person cannot pray and get faith. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, just like Mary was teaching earlier, just like David said earlier. When the word of God becomes revelation, that makes the difference. When Jesus sent out the 70, he said, after these, this is Luke chapter 10, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Everything he said in chapter 10, until they came back, was revelation that they would need. He's talking to them. From verse 1 all the way down to verse 16. And he told them what they would run into. He gave them instructions. Mm-hmm. When God gives you instructions, revelation is in it. When you receive it, mm-hmm. we don't just believe the word of God because God said it. First, we have to receive what he said. The faith you have is the faith you receive. Then you come to a point you believe it. Then when you act on it, it's faith, because faith is an act. Mm-hmm. He said, but the church has to receive revelation in order to operate. And when you do, you're going to find out that it works.
Amen.
And you're also going to find out you can't fail.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gave them instructions. This is an element that's missing, the one-on-one instruction of the Lord. From verse 1 to verse 16, he gave them instruction, and they acted on it. They received what he said. That's where our faith comes. Then they believed it. Then they went out. But they came back saying, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And then now more revelations come. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now watch verse 20. This is the one you got to watch. This is the deep revelation that will cause your authority to always work. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is why I say that. When everybody who shares stories of, I mean, some of the wildest stories that you can imagine, people are having testimonies that God is active in their life. I can believe them when there's three things that cause me to believe the most outrageous testimonies. One is sincerity, obedience. When people are sincere, then they're obedient and they're innocent. When this happens, when we focus on the Lord, mm-hmm. innocent love. Mm-hmm. When people just love God, God will call. Now he can see God loves people so much that he will cause Jonah to go to Nineveh, the wild bunch, and preach to the wild bunch. Jonah had revelation that he would save the wild bunch, and he didn't want them saved, he wanted them judged.
Right.
He loved Jonah so much, he didn't let fire ruin it, get in the way, did he? Mm-hmm. He made sure he went where he's supposed to, because he loved Jonah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have to look at, to stay in the bubble of authority, you got to look at him. It's just like Nigeria, they're killing Christians. Deceived Muslims are killing Christians today. Mm-hmm. They're trying to kill them. When I saw it on the news, I started using authority.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if God said, go preach to the wild bunch?
Yeah,
I want them dead.
Nigeria.
And naturally, you want them dead, but now I'm going to do it God's way. You got to stay in a position where you'll do it God's way. So it takes obedience, innocence, and that kind of love gives you innocence, obedience, and sincerity. When those three are in place, you're in the bubble of authority, because authority is for God's people.
Amen.
Obedient people. Oh, disobedient people, they turn their authority off.
Your walk has a lot to do with using authority.
Now, who gave Satan? God never gave Satan power and authority. Mm-hmm. It's not in the word, but it says power was given unto him.
Yes.
Even over God's people. Somebody gave him authority. Mm-hmm. He got it from the darkness that covered the earth. Mm-hmm. And people who agree with it. Mm-hmm. Those who are innocent and obedient. They love God, they're innocent, they're obedient, and sincere.
You know, Brother Thurston, with authority, I know we have authority, but like, you know, the enemy like really coming hard against somebody, like aggressive. And I feel like with that authority, you have to, like, you know the scripture, the violence takes by force. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I feel like you got to be kind of like, get thee behind me, Zane. Like, you have to kind of keep saying it, because he be coming, like.
You got to mean it.
And then you got to realize it's not the person, but it's a spirit working in that person. Mm-hmm. So don't get off with the person. Mm-hmm. See, many times we walk out of love with the person. Mm-hmm. Authority doesn't work when you walk out of love with the person. Mm-hmm.
Because you trade places, not you work.
I'm saying like real spirits, though. Like, you know, like spirits of depression, spirits of anger.
Not a person.
Yeah, like it's coming hard against you.
Is on them. Tell them to be quiet.
That's exactly what they
said. It's not hard. This is whatever revelation you need, God will give it to you. When the Holy Spirit is pointing, is teaching you, is showing you something. Watch, listen, receive.
And when those voices are talking to you, get into His presence.
Amen.
In His presence, I tell the Lord, I said, I ain't in your presence right now because I ain't got that joy. Mm-hmm. I said, but I'm coming in.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm coming in before you. I'm getting in your presence now.
Yes,
I'm worshiping you. I'm praising you. I'm getting in His presence. See, God is always present.
And the devil got to flee.
God is always present, but we're not always in His presence.
The kind of people that follow through are the people that use the power. They love God so much, they remain in a state of innocence, so they obey, and they're sincere. Now God can do, He can back them up. It's not about you. It's not about the enemy. You can't look at your success. You can't look at your failure. You got to look at Christ.
Amen. Thank you,
and you
Jesus.
Can always enjoy.
Yes.
Amen. And you know, depression is not of God. Don't sit there and stay there. Say, God, I'm in a depressed mode. Help. You know, if you don't even feel like praying, you can tell God, I don't even feel like praying. And He'll help you pray.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will help you pray. But a lot of times we want to sit there and agree with the enemy and say, yeah, I'm depressed. Don't make that confession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect love cast out fear.
Amen.
Make the confession that, hey, I'm coming out of this. If you have to call for backup, you know, people with authority as the police, mm-hmm. sometimes they get into a situation and they say, I need to call for backup. And they call, you see them police coming, I mean, from everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they call for backup. But a lot of times we don't want to call for backup because I feel like I have a right to be pitied. Mm. Nobody cares about me.
It feels good
like
in the flesh, doesn't
well, like
it?
Call
getting
the Holy Spirit or call like
somebody in the physical.
Your family
just full of the Holy Ghost. The James, say call on Him.
Praying the Holy Ghost,
you know,
to
the prayer
you
of faith. You know.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
All
the
of
Lord
that is good.
With me.
You may need a person. Mm-hmm. You may.
Yeah.
You always need the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the hour of the Holy Spirit to do.
Yes,
the church
amen.
has left the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And they want to walk in the flesh and what they can see and hear. But the Holy Spirit is so important this hour.
Yes.
That you let Him be everything. I said, Holy Spirit, I always tell Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I know you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know. And I know there's an anointing abiding in me.
Yes, amen.
That I know it all things. Not that I know, but what's abiding in me, He knows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if he knows, he's going to tell me.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to ask him.
And you're going to listen and hear and do, aren't you, Mary?
Yes, I'm going to get in his presence.
He tells you to get up and do something, do it.
Yes, like that's right. Sometimes you don't need to just sit there and be praying. You got to get up, pray. You have to go do something for somebody else.
Sometimes you gotta repent like Nineveh and fight like sometimes you gotta repent like Nineveh and fight like Judah.
No, that's Joseph's brother, Judah.
You gotta praise, honey.
Judah means praise.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't forget to repent like a Ninevite.
You gotta make sure there's nothing in there God wants to get rid of.
Each of us, God is calling us to a different level, a different realm of living.
But you want to see the flesh.
You want to say, but I don't feel right. You keep talking yourself into defeat.
See, people
sometimes we talk ourselves
into defeat.
Yeah. People can't win when they're guilty, disobedient, and insincere. All you have to do is repent like a Ninevite.
Repent, I like that.
They repented till they broke
through. That's good, Brother Thurston. Repent of, Lord, I repent of wanting to be depressed.
I believe
when you done raised me up to sit. See, a lot of times we just need to know our place.
Yes, amen.
I talked about our place before y'all got here. Mm-hmm. A place of authority. Once you know your place of authority, you tell devil, if you don't get out of my head, if you think I'm going to be depressed.
You can't be. You're seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. How could you be depressed? Mm-hmm. God's not depressed.
You've got
depression in his body, no sickness in his body.
Amen.
No hatred in his body.
No anger.
Amen.
Love.
Only righteous.
Right.
Now, I didn't get a chance to talk about that in the 13th chapter. After he washed his feet, John told him, say, y'all got to love.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And not with, he said, don't love with
words.
Don't love your neighbor as yourself. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, don't do that no more. But I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. That was a different kind of love. Mm-hmm. And you said, but I can't.
Yes, you can.
The love of God been shed abroad in your heart. Mm-hmm.
You don't do it with your love.
What are you doing with that love that's been shed abroad in your heart? Are you using it or is it just there? Don't you know the fruit of the Spirit is in you? I wanted some extra pie, and I mean extra cake. And I said, hold up here. I don't know how many slices. I said, hold up. I got self-control. You ain't going to fool me anymore. You are not in the food system there.
Amen.
I got self-control abiding in me. That's one of my fruits of my spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And if we can't take control of a slice of pie.
Oh, my God.
I mean, come on, people. What about the enemy? What about the devil? We got a lot of this abiding in us that we're not using. The church got the authority that they're not using. Okay, listen, Brother Dave, you had something.
Yeah,
let's stay in while
Brother Thurston was all, talking about the counsel and instruction of the Lord always, always, always in the Bible. The instruction of the Lord is followed by power. You know, he's talking about being obedient. If you're obedient to his counsel and instruction, you'll have power in your life.
Amen.
Always.
That's good.
Yes.
Thank y'all. On the 20th of December, we will not have class. But after that, we will still. Next week, we're going to have class.
We're going to have it in the fellowship hall.
In the fellowship hall.
Amen.
Sister Deborah.
Yes. We are a nonprofit that's bought enough food for a month for 28 people. We're sorting it here on Tuesday, starting at 10 o'clock. And we need help because, again, it's enough food for 28 seniors for a month. So we need all of the help.
That's a lot of food.
Well, when we did 10 at Groveland Baptist Church,